Thank you for the time. Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. Thank you for the scripture. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for everything that you're doing in our life. Thank you for the blessings. Thank you for the visitors. Thank you for all the members. Thank you for Elburn, Sugar Grove, Maple Park, everywhere around here. We bless them. We declare in the name of Jesus Christ that you are here with us today and you're speaking to the church. I'm asking you with a humble heart, God, that be you speaking to the church, not me. Just remove me out of the picture. I don't want to speak with my own desires or my own things. I just want to speak your word and you speaking to the church and myself according to your needs and your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to series Becoming a Disciple, right? Because that's one of the commitments and also the commitment that we did with Jesus Christ and God to also go and make more disciples. But today we're going to talk about a specific topic that God blessed me to this week. And I hope that it's going to also bless you guys with these amazing scriptures that he shared with us. Opening the series or the sermons like with a specific verse, which is Matthew 28:16. Matthew 28:16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely, I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" We talk about a lot of different topics this past weekends, you guys know. We talk about the difference of multitude and or crowd and disciple, the mindset that we need to learn and change that, and also the type of mind that we have to have, which is the mind of Christ according to Scripture. So that way we can be disciples, not just crowd. And that way we can go outside and make disciples. In order to make disciples, we have to understand how to be a disciple. So that's the teaching and the learning that we are continued doing with the scripture. But today, and maybe it's going to take maybe more time because then we have to go through the whole 12 apostles in the scripture. Because God is going to show us some learning and teaching about one of each of them. And today we're going to talk about pretty much about Peter. And you guys know about a lot of stuff of Peter, what happened, right? What he did. So the 12 disciples, who they are, their names, you know them. Simon, which is called them Peter. We have Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother. Philip, Bartholomew. We have Thomas. We have Matthew, the tax collector. We have James, the son of Alphaeus. And we have Thaddeus and Simon the Zealot, and also Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus Christ. We know the story. And today, we kind of going through the scriptures, and based on what we can see in the scriptures, some reactions, some behaviors from the disciples, we can say or talk about the four temperaments that we see in the life. Please help me here. Choleric, sanguine, we have phlegmatic, and melancholic. Okay? So we have those four temperaments, and then we can see that in the disciples, in some scriptures, and other people also, not just the disciples. But today I want to focus just about Peter, because Peter is most likely showing the sanguine one. You can see the story about Peter, and then, for example, right away he took out the sword and, boom, cut the ear of the officer or soldier at that time. You can see also Peter that he was throwing the nets to the side when he's supposed to maybe throw it through the other side or maybe doing it by himself, what he wants to do. You can see also Peter that he neglected Jesus Christ 3 times. You can see Peter in different things, right? According to scriptures. And based on those scriptures, and we go by the temperaments, we can say, oh, he's sanguine. And those temperaments is showing us something really interesting in the scripture, because it's kind of a reflection of who we are, where we are as a person. And then that will determine also what kind of discipleship we can get in our lives so we can be disciples and make other disciples. Although no one has one temperament as a pure or in a pure exclusive form, it is widely believed and easy to observe that each human person has a predominant temperament. Most often, two seem to dominate the personality. Usually, one will be greater and one lesser. To describe more, the extroverted personality type is sanguine and choleric, and generally more outgoing, while the phlegmatic and melancholic tend to be more reserved and introvert. That's me. But the important thing is that God will use you anyway. That's the most important thing that we need to learn out of this topic. Because sometimes we say, oh, I am like that, I'm choleric, I'm really reactive or whatever. Anything that happened, I will be really mad and frustrated or anything like that. But no, anyway, God will use you. You will see every different behaviors or reactions or characteristics, which is the topic of today, of what God is teaching us, that anyway you are like that, I'm going to use you. Praise God. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to reach the nation through you or through other people anyway you are like that. And if I need to tweak something or transform you for my glory, God talking, I will do that. Don't worry, but I will use you. And getting to that place that you guys have to blend and mix together and love each other is interesting also, because we have those different temperaments. But that's things that we need to learn as a disciples. We learned that according to scripture, that, and I want to share with you guys 10 different points about discipleship. Let's go to Matthew 4 really quick. Matthew chapter 4, 18. Jesus Christ already being baptized. He's starting his ministry. And now in Matthew 4, 18, he have this experience. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter later, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Inside here, I want to share with you, and also other scripture, 10 different characteristics from the disciples that we can maybe learn from that. The first one that I want to share with you guys is the disciples are called. You are called. According to scripture in John 15, 16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. Interesting. Because normally, when we have the experiences out there, coworkers, family, relative, anyone, we kind of like present Jesus Christ, testimony, and share the deliverance that he did in our life or everything that he did. And we kind of like offering him, right? Kind of like presenting to the people, pick, choose Jesus Christ instead of not choosing him and choosing other gods or other style of life. But really, the scripture says that he chose you. He already did that. So he's the one doing that. And sometimes when we feel or receive rejection from the people, when we are ministering them or testifying to them, we kind of or tend to take it personally. Characteristics. But when we understand that you as a disciple, you are called by him, and anything that is happened through you is for him and by him. It's not you. So if they are rejecting you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him according to Scripture. We need to learn that, and we need to understand that we are called by him, that he already chose us. We didn't choose him. He did it for us. What kind of blessing is that? When you go to a store and you start looking through the clothing or pants or shirts or maybe the shoes, anything. What are you doing? You have several things over there. And you say, oh, I like this one. I like the color. It fits me perfect. I like it. I love it. It's my style. It's kind of the same thing. You are choosing that specific one that you love. Jesus Christ, God, choose you because he loves you. You are perfect for him. So he's already declaring to you, hey, it's not you. It's me, God. I choose you. You are amazing. You are great. So that invites us to understand the discipleship decision that we need to make in our life, and also to understand when we're going out there and make disciples. The second one that I want to share with you guys is disciples respond to the Jesus call. Once you understand that, and the people understand that, it's going to be them. They are accountable or responsible, you also, to respond to that calling. He's telling you, I call you, I choose you. You are my son. So it's going to be our responsibility to make the next step to say, okay, I'm going to respond to that. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to continue your path. I'm going to continue what you are sharing with me and what I'm supposed to do over here. That's why when we see the scripture and we learn in Matthew 4 what Peter did and his brother, what they did immediately, they just follow him. What they saw in Jesus Christ, what they see in that moment in him. Because let's say any man just walk over here and they say, hey, you, follow me. I don't know who you are. What you offer? That's our mindset, maybe, right? We will go through that mindset right away and say, So I'm just trying to put my heart in that moment as a Peter. And I'm just in the boat, and these guys just show up over there and say, Simon, follow me. There's some connection. There's something in that moment that Jesus Christ showed to them that impacted their hearts, that it touched their hearts, that it gave you conviction. And that's the conviction that you and I receive that we will share to other ones over there. And that's going to be all the Holy Spirit. It's not us. With our own strengths, we cannot do that. It's just to bring that conviction is going to be through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will support us, will give that revelation to continue touching their hearts and their mind to change and transform that hearts and mind. We can't do that. We just need to be responsible, receive the call, respond to the call, and God will do the rest because he's the one choosing. The third one that I want to share with you guys, disciple love. John 13:35, it says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples. How? If you love each other, or if you love one another. That's the tough one. I know. But if we really demonstrate it, if we have that characteristic in our life, and we say, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Oh, then let's show that we love one another. Because the scripture says that. Not me. Not anyone else. It's the scripture that we are saying and we are claiming that we believe everything in here. So I'm saying, if we're really saying, I am a disciple, then let me love my brother and sister. Anyway, we have different point of view. Anyway, we have different temperaments. That one is really hard to pronounce. Sorry. So anyway, when we have those type of mindset, anyway, we have to learn how to blend each other according to his will. So that way we can show that we are disciples. The disciples, number four, bear fruit. In fact, Jesus says that bearing fruit will show that you are a disciple, according to John 15:8. John 15:8, it says, this is to my Father's glory, to his glory, not to anyone here in the earth or on the earth, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Again, our responsibility is to bear fruits. We know the fruits. We know what we need to do. Now that we understand the call, we respond to the call, we love each other, let me bear fruit. Let me produce it. That's not going to happen by just magic. It's not like that. We have to produce that. We have to take the opportunity and chances that is giving God in our life to produce that fruits in our life. That's why we have so many circumstances in our life, so we can produce those fruits. And that's the blessing to be a disciple, because we have that capability to do that. Otherwise, if you are a crowd, if you are a multitude, you will be go just by the emotions. All those things will be controlling you. You will not be controlling the circumstances and emotions. But when you are a disciple, you control those things. You know where you are. You know who is leading you. You know who is calling you. You know who are you responding to the call. Because he's powerful, not anyone else. Praise God. Number five, the disciples are obedient. And in John 15, also 14, he says, you are my friends. Jesus Christ talking. If you do what I command, he give you the command. And one of them, which Sue shared earlier today, it is loving each other. That's the command. And also loving God. If we do those two things, we fulfill the whole law, according to the law of Moses. So we cannot be close friends with Jesus. Note for this. We cannot be close friends with Jesus and be disobedient. And this obedience to God involves obedience to the church, which is his body. Become one all together is the church, is the community of God. And that will bring us to be in commandment with him or comply with that commandment with him. Whoever listens to God or to Jesus Christ, or to the scripture, then will be listened to God. Whoever rejects God or me will reject God. It will reject also you. It will reject God because we are the representation of God on the earth. Once again, don't take it personally. It's not you. It's him. All for his glory. Number six, disciples listen and learn. Throughout the scriptures, we constantly find Jesus' disciples learning from him. They listen and then apply his teaching in their life. We always say at the end of this the service on Sunday, be a doers. Because what is the sense of just listening to the word, listening to the teaching from Jesus Christ in your life, but we're not applying it? It's just words, just flowing around, doing nothing unless you apply them, unless you use them for his glory. That then will be having an impact. Number seven, the disciples follow him. The disciples will follow him. According to John 10:4 says, his sheep, us, follow him because they know his voice. When we know and understand that calling, you're receiving that from the Holy Spirit, you have that conviction, we will follow him. The disciples will follow what Jesus Christ did. Following, we already learned about this, is kind of walking the same path with Jesus Christ, not deviating to any other direction. Number eight, the disciples have their eyes set on heaven. Because if we have the eyes set on the earthly stuff, then we are not focusing correctly. I don't remember if I shared with you guys this one. It's for you guys, the ride motorcycles. Or even not just motorcycle, it can be anything. I learned in that class, also driving, that where you put your vision, you tend to go that direction. You know that, right? Everyone knows that. It's the same concept. So if I'm just focusing in Jesus Christ, I'm focusing in heaven, that's going to be my target. That's my goal, reaching over there. I know that I will continue walking that path, the same one. I will not deviate to anything else. But now, the same thing that happened with Peter when he was walking on the sea. The same thing. If I deviate my vision to another thing, then I will be just going through that direction. Just keeping the eyes set on heaven so that way we can continue manifesting the discipleship in our life. Number 9, the disciples carried the cross every day. Not just one time. Not just that moment when we say we accept Jesus Christ. That's it. Done. Everything will be great. No. This is going to be a daily thing. According to Scripture 9, Luke 9:23, it says, then he said to them, oh, whoever wants to be my disciples, the one that wants to be disciple, the one that doesn't want to be disciple, okay. But the ones that want to be disciples must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me, according to Scripture. The cross of not being gods, of having a God and Lord to listen to and follow, to love and obey. That's pretty much the concept of that characteristic of denying myself and grabbing the cross and just walking every day, believing and trusting. Number 10 and last one. Disciples make other disciples. Hallelujah. Finally, we have to do what Jesus did, which means making disciples. It was his last command and the only one that we cannot avoid fulfilling personally. Good news. A liberating experience cannot be kept silent. It needs to be transmitted and shared with others. That's the 10 characteristics that I can share with you guys today about discipleship that we can see in the Scripture, that we can understand, learn, grow, and then also go and make more disciples. Now, let's go to Luke 5. Because Matthew 4, we learn about the first calling of these disciples. Luke 5, it shows type of, some people or some theologians call it the second calling. Looks like the first one is not enough. Right? Let's see. 5, Luke. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. Thank you. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. Attention, crowd. It was just crowding him. Let me see who's that, what he's talking. I heard that he's a prophet. I heard that he's doing some miracles. The crowd mindset. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Interesting. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Anything. All night. Work hard. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. Hallelujah. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." This guy, sanguine, he already had the call. He left everything and then he just like followed him. And now he has this second experience over here. And we know more stories about him, you know. And it says, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus says to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him again." Amazing story. What happened over here? When we learn more about what is the meaning of net, the net, that was kind of the tool the fisherman was using. And right now we can talk about different tools that the fishermen use or they keep using right now to catch the fish. And something that I learned that I want to share with you guys, and some of you guys know more than me, it is the difference between a hunter and a fisherman. Because there might be going through the same reason or purpose. I need a resource. I need food. I need to do something to get something so that way I can sustain maybe my family, myself, or maybe a community. One is using a gun, a bullet, to kill an animal. The other one is just throwing a net. Let's see what it gets in there. Using a bait. But this other one is just like, just waiting over there, waiting for that moment. And the difference is kind of like, the hunter is kind of aggressive because he's just over there, just waiting. And then soon he got the opportunity, he has to be an expert. There's some experts over here, I know, that they can do that, not me. And they use different tools. They can use a bow, right? They can use another things, rifle, name it. But the fisherman, the concept is kind of a different thing. Because again, they have to make sure that that net is really strong. That the net maybe have the space of the openings, maybe really small or maybe a wide open. I don't know. They know more than me. But you have to be specific. So that way when they throw that net, it can catch what God has for them. Peter have all night doing this. He had all night and he didn't catch anything because his net and his will, he was doing it when he won, at the time that he won, at the moment that he won, not the moment that he wants. That's why Jesus Christ says, "Oh, you had just spent the whole night doing nothing? You didn't get anything? No? Oh, okay. Throw it now." Our responsibility is that net that you are using. In the Bible, when we go to the Bible, really quick, Psalm 141:8, it says, "But my eyes are fixed on you, sovereign Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not give me over to death. Keep me safe from the traps set by evildoers, from the snares they have laid for me. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by in safety." Let me share one more with you. Psalm 9:15. "The nations have fallen into the pit they have dug. Their feet are caught in the net they have hidden. The Lord is known by his acts of justice. The wicked are ensnared by the work of their hands." In other words, nets is kind of your own plans and strategy that you want to do to reach what the resource that you want to get. Simple. God is talking in this scripture saying, the person, the wicked, they hide their own net. They maybe don't know. They're just doing some wicked stuff. But the net that they are preparing for other person with the wicked hearts that they are doing to get something that they want to get by their own desires, they're going to fall into that net, the same one that they are building, the same strategy, the same plans. God is using the same thing. He say, I have my plans. I have my net. I have the strategy to make everything happen. Now, let's go back to the story. Peter, he have his net working, cleaning it, have it ready. But now this moment, Jesus Christ says, now is the moment. And this is the right place. Don't throw it to the left. Throw it to the right. But I spend the whole night doing this. Yeah, because you want it. It's your desire. It's your plan. Not mine. God talking, not me. Follow the voice of God. That's why Jesus Christ or Peter in that moment, he say, I spend the whole night doing this, but in your word, in your name, in whatever you are proclaiming to my life, I will do it. I will throw the net to the right side. I will throw the net in this right moment that you are asking me. And what happened? Everything just was there by itself. You don't have to do anything. Just throw the net, raise the net, and let's just go with the full net of nets, of fish, sorry. Because it's his will. It's his moment. It's his time, not ours. Hallelujah. I want to finish with this. John 21:3-12. John 21. Here we go, Peter, again. Jesus Christ dead, he's dead. He raised from the dead. And here we go. Chapter 21, John, verse 3. I am going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they say, well, I'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple, whom Jesus loved, say to Peter, it's the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. Sanguine. Right? There you go. The other disciples follow in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. When we do the will of God, when we follow His voice, what He wants at the time that He wants, the blessing will just come by itself. We just need to believe and trust in Him, believing in the discipleship that He already put in our hearts and in our minds. And when we trust in that, we just respond. We just go and follow Him. We just trust in the word that He's sharing with us. At the right moment, at the right time, in the right place, that He's directing us, and for sure, because He's His will, He will do the rest. All the fish will be coming by itself. You guys know what I'm talking about. Because He say, I will create in you a fisher of people. You will be fishing people. So in other words, church, let's pray to God and ask Him a revelation of the time, the place, and everything will become by itself because it's His will. It's not us in our own desires and emotions making decisions and strategies that is not going to work. Praise God. The disciples in Acts chapter 1:6. This is now the early church. Starting. See the experience over here. Acts 1:6. Then they gather around Him and ask Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Pay attention to what He said in 7. He said to them, it is not for you or me to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. I know that's what we want. I know what that's the disciples' questions they're asking, because we want that. No, don't worry about it. Jesus Christ is saying, it's not for us to ask that question. But what it is, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the end of the world or earth. What is the place that God is giving to you? Where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea? Is your work? Is your family? Is your relative? Is your community? It is your neighbor. We need to learn and understand and identify what is our Jerusalem. What is our Judea? Don't worry about the time. Let's just worry about receiving the Holy Spirit. And then we go and make disciples. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's just identify what is the location that God wants us to hit. We can talk about Maple Park. We can talk about Elburn. We can talk about Sugar Grove. But the most important thing is to understand that is His will, where He wants us to start, where and when. And He will open the doors. Don't forget, we are accountable for all the people that God is putting in our life. So when you have the opportunity to minister them or to testify to them, do it. That's discipleship. Because we are accountable for that. They need to know about Jesus Christ, what He did for them, for us, so that way we can bring them. Again, if they reject it, it's not you. They're rejecting Him. Because we're doing everything that we can according to His will. He's the one that died for us, not anyone else. Praise God. Heavenly Father, We worship you. We thank you for showing today to us one of the characteristics from one of the disciples, and we will continue learning about it. Thank you for the blessing to understand that anyway, we all have different characteristics. To be the help us to or use us to continue ministering the life of others that they don't know you. Please, Holy Spirit, be you supporting us. We can't do this by ourselves or without you. We need you. We need your help and support. We love you and we praise you. We declare your glory over this church, over this community, over everyone around us. And we ask you, Lord, to also bless them, touch them, and bring salvation to them. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. And amen.